Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Below the Yellow Line. I just checked. The race is finally over after five overtimes. The Ally 400 ended up being like the Ally 450, something like that. We ran 331 laps. They were supposed to run 300. But at the end, Joey Logano somehow, you know, I know they ran a lot of caution laps, but that car ran like 110 laps on one tick of fuel.
I don't know how he was not out of gas.
Had some smoky eunuch fuel cell on there from the 60s. It's probably illegal. I don't know. Paul Wolf is the gutsiest crew chief in the garage. I wouldn't have left my driver out there like that, but he does. And Logano goes from fighting for his life on the playoff cut line to locked in, breezy, and nothing can go wrong for that 22 team now. Emily, I want your initial thoughts on this race. What did you see those final few restarts? It was pretty chaotic. Denny had a chance to win, ran out of gas. Larson ran out of gas. Chastain, we thought he was going to win. Larson crashed him. Bell looked dominant in stage two, and then he crashed. This race, it seems like everything happened, you know, an hour ago. Well, it did. But, I mean, it seems like the first 95% of this race happened, and then the last 5% happened, and the last 5% felt like a whole nother race. So just tell us your thoughts, what went on from your perspective.
Yeah, definitely. The ending of the race was defined by how much fuel these guys had, how many laps they had run since they last fueled up. They were having to really, one, predict how many overtimes are they going to have, because some of these guys would have been just fine if the other people weren't running out of fuel. But because of that and the cautions and crashes that just kept happening, they were having to run more laps than they should have had to. And so all those things really affected who won at the end of the day. So it was really interesting. And then going into that final restart, seeing all these guys up at the front that haven't had a win and really have had more difficult seasons. And so to see people that aren't usually our front runners have a chance to win was really interesting.
Yeah, there was a point where I thought we were going to get a Zane Smith win, a Corey LaJoie win, but I really thought Zane Smith, who was last in the points, has not had a finish better than 13th this year. I thought he was going to somehow win. Good for him, getting the best finish of his career. Second career top 10, got one last year when he was part-time, but he's had a rough rookie year. Big for him, but the biggest winner of the day, obviously, is the race winner. That's Joey Logano. This has not been a typical Joey Logano season. I bring up this stat a lot. He's never missed the championship four in an even-numbered year. It's an even-numbered year. He won both
his championships in even-numbered years. Maybe.
Exactly. We thought he might miss the playoffs entirely. And I said it earlier in the year, like, it's like his championship hangover just keeps hanging around. Like, he just can't shake it. Came in on the plus side of the cut line today, plus 13, but still, you know, you don't feel safe. And it seems like whenever they have a good run, it falls apart. You know, see New Hampshire. But today, you know, was it completely merit-based? No. He ran, like, what I saw this race, he had like an 8th to 12th place car. But at the end of the day, he gets a win. He's in. How big is this win for him, Emily? Because, you know, you give Joey Logano, you say, hey, you got nothing to lose now. He's going to be more confident than he's ever been these last seven races of the regular season. But then in the playoffs, he's in. Doesn't have to worry about it. They can plan. I think that 22 team, maybe you can't call him an underdog anymore to go win this championship.
Yeah, I mean, he's had kind of a rough season, aside from the All-Star race, which, you know, without points didn't really – not that it didn't count, but it didn't count. So for him to have a kind of that locked into the playoffs here gives him that chance to have a season that is more typically what we see from him.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, what would a playoff look like without Joey Logano? He hasn't missed it since 2017. He won a race at Richmond that year, but there was some weird penalty, kept him out of the playoffs. That was the last time he missed it. You just don't see guys like Joey Logano miss the playoffs. We'll talk about another two-time champ that is probably in a must-win situation now with seven races to go. I'll be very interested to talk to him at Chicago next weekend. But Zane Smith, P2, hey, if I had a hat, I would tip it to you because he needed that. They needed that in a big way. Tyler Reddick, I thought he was going to win this race and steal one from Joey Logano, had a huge run and just couldn't quite do it. He was the saddest I've ever seen him in his post-race interview. The reporter said, anything good come out of this weekend? He's like, no. It's like, all right, dude, you finished third. You're like fourth in points. Lighten up a little bit. But, you know, understandable. Priest fourth, Buescher fifth, kind of a wacky top five. Bubba Wallace, hey, great job, P7. You're probably wondering, okay, where is he on the playoff grid? Surely he's in the good now. Well, remember who was racing for that final spot? Joey Logano. Now, Bubba's 51 points out. So he has his first top 10 since Darlington, and he loses 38 points to the cut line. Kyle Larson, your pick in eighth, Emily. He was your pick to win. You do get the point this weekend, unfortunately, because Denny finished 12th. Larson ran out of gas. That's how Kyle Busch ended up crashing. Looked like it could be another Larson-Hamlin duel. What'd you think about Kyle Larson's day today?
I was hoping for better, obviously. He had overall not terrible. I mean, we finished up there, but it would have been better if we hadn't run out of fuel and sent Busch into the wall.
That was certainly a weird deal there. He just didn't get going and still finished eighth. You ever look up the definition of an attrition race? This is it. Because, I mean, Daniel Hemric in ninth. Noah Gregson, he was good early in the season, really fell off. Top 10 for him. AJ Allmendinger, not even full-time in 11th. Denny in 12th, he bit the bullet, made the decision to come down pit road, which in hindsight, seen as Logano, who pitted on the same lap as him, won the race, probably wasn't the best decision, but, you know, at some point, you just got to say, okay, we got to come in. Every time there was a caution, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to bring Logano in, right? Surely. They just left him out there, and it paid off. Haley in 13th, Bowman 14th, Cindric 15th, Josevar 16th. Emily, would you read off 17th through, 33rd on our result sheet? Well, it come back around for a second.
Hold on. I can't see what I see. Right. No.
Quick note before it gets back around. Ross Chastain, 33rd, really looked like he was going to break that one-year winless streak since Phoenix. Go ahead, Emily.
Yeah, so in 17th place, we have Todd Gilliland, followed by Chase Elliott, William Byron, Corey LaJoy, who thought we might win at one point, Briscoe, Suarez, Gibbs, Martin Truex Jr., Keselowski, Josh Berry, Kyle Busch, Harrison Burton, I'm Stenhouse, Nemechek, Dylan, Chastain. That's it. That's what I've got.
Chastain, I really thought he was going to win this race late. I got wrecked by Kyle Larson. I guess I wasn't able to see that. Eric Jones, 34th. Michael McDowell, 35th. That 34 team. It was a mechanical failure today. They had one at Daytona. Just whenever they have speed, they shoot themselves in the foot. Bell, 36th. He was dominant. Swept the stages, led a ton of laps, and ends up 36th. Riley Herbst, 37th. And then Chad Fincham, Tennessee native, was horrendously off the pace today. He ends up last in 38th. We don't have the points for you, but we'll read those off later. Emily, if you would, bring up our pick document real quick. We'll get to that before you get to the points. I know you're always happy to bring up the pick document right now.
Of course. I'm always thrilled to do so.
Before we do, or I guess we can talk about Kyle Busch after, but I'm interested to hear your opinion on Kyle Busch. Maybe not a biased opinion. I'll get your objective opinion on Kyle Busch after we do the picks document here. So if you would do the honors, let's take a look at our picks. Audio listeners, just listen along, visualize the Google Doc of what's become the Google Doc of pain for me.
It's up. And you may notice, listeners and viewers here, that I have 26 points.
I have 10.
Samuel has 10.
You know
Samuel
what?
I've had 10 points, as you notice, since...
When was it?
May
since...
19th.
Wow.
Nine. So he got 10 on May 26th. He's been sitting here ever since.
It's been a month. Wow. You know what? I'm just saving up for a 2011 Tony Stewart type comeback. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's my plan. So, yeah, it's not going well. Chicago, though, I get 10 points if my pick wins. We decided that. Emily already knows who her pick is. I don't know who mine is. I'm calculating some things. Got to do some math. Rewatch last year's race.
Do I get 5?
Yeah. Yeah, you can get 5. So, yeah. Anyway, I do want to mention before we talk about Kyle Busch, I want to mention Corey Heim. He finished his 29th, got caught up in one of those late wrecks, but he ran as high as 11th on speed today. Y'all know I'm super high on Corey Heim. Won 4 truck races this year. Looked really good in his 2 Cup starts earlier in the season. Looked really good in his Xfinity starts earlier in the season. If 23-11 does have a third car next year, it needs to go to Corey Heim because he is very good. When I spoke to Denny in St. Louis, he had a very high opinion of Corey Heim. Corey Heim sounds like he would love to drive for Denny Hamlin, who was his boyhood idol. So Corey Heim turned a lot of heads today, maybe not in the finishing results, but just the way he drove the race, very professional as a 22-year-old can get. But let's talk about Kyle Busch, Emily. I'm writing an article right now for Yard Barker, and y'all go read it. Help me get paid. Called, well, what is it called, actually? Let me look at the title. Father Time may be slowly encroaching on the invincible Kyle Busch, because for years, whenever I became a NASCAR fan back in 2013, I was, you know, I asked, okay, who are the top drivers? Because I was a Dale Jr. fan. I asked, who are the top drivers? Okay, Jr., Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane at the time, Kyle Busch. He was a polarizing figure then. He's polarizing now, maybe not as hated now. When he left Joe Gibbs Racing, a situation of turmoil there, no sponsors, goes to RCR, wins three of the first 15 races last year, Emily, and we're thinking, okay, Kyle Busch, Richard Childress Racing, match made in heaven. And that was the story, like the first half of last year, beating a dead horse. Busch, championship contender, renaissance, honeymoon with RCR, he looks fantastic. RCR hasn't looked this good since the days of Dale Earnhardt Sr. This year, The dead horse that we're beating is the horse of Kyle Busch isn't going to make the playoffs. Kyle Busch is having the worst season of his career, which, yes, he is. I don't think he's missed the playoffs since 2012, around there. That's when there were only 12 drivers in it. He's never missed it in the 16-driver iteration. He's a two-time champion. After 2019, the COVID year 2020, it's all gone downhill. 2020 only won one race. 2021 only won two. 2022 only won one. Last year he won three. But he fell off a cliff in the second half of the year. He's 39 years old. He's not getting any younger. He only won two of the five truck races he started in this year. Like, I mean, he didn't win a single Xfinity race last year. Like, something is up with Kyle Busch. I don't think it's that he's, I mean, maybe he is getting washed, I guess is a term we could use. I think he's just getting older. I think this is the natural progression of an athlete's career. As unbiased as you can be, Emily, what do you think this is? Because this isn't just, you know, Kyle ran bad one week. And I know RCR is a problem. Their cars are slow right now. Their cars are very slow right now, unacceptably slow. They're even making personnel changes in the middle of the week. Andy Petrie retires in the middle of the season. I'm not sure about that. Exactly. You don't see executives of companies retire in the middle of the fiscal year. That just doesn't happen. I'm not saying it couldn't have. I'm just saying the timing is suspicious. RCR is down in the dumps right now. They're the worst they've looked since before Tyler Reddick. Worst they've looked since 2019. And Kyle Busch isn't necessarily helping. And again, like, he was running top 10, and I know Larson ran out of gas, but he was running 36th, a lap down on pure speed today. That shouldn't happen. He has not had a top 10 finish since Darlington on May 12th. We're coming up on 2 months, seven races now where Kyle Busch has not finished top 10. What do you think, Emily? What's wrong? What can they do to fix it? Can he make the playoffs? Because he's going to need a win.
Is he a has-been? I mean, is he just done? Does he just not know what to do? Is it just car issues? I don't know, but he's not performing.
I think it's a combination of both. I don't think RCR is up to snuff right now. I don't think Kyle Busch is up to snuff either. It's just, like, what is the, like, is there a solution? Because, you know, trying the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity. You can't just hope to show up with a fast car every week and then just not have one. Like, Kyle Busch, I mean, I don't know if he's changing anything or not. He rebounded. He was as high as third in this race, you know, and he was doing good and for a good result towards the end. And now he's, you know, the Logano's win doesn't help him in the points, but he's 19th, 104 points out. He has to make up 15 points a race over the next seven races. That would get him in by 1 point. That's not going to happen because the guy he's trying to chase down is Alex Bowman, and Bowman's been much better than Busch this year. Never thought I'd say that in my life, but here we are. It's just the weirdest situation because, like, Martin Truex is retiring at the end of the year, and he's like sixth in points. Kyle Busch is 19th. I mean, it's so, so weird to me. Kyle Busch, like, when I was a fan, even when, like, 2020, when you came into the sport, Emily, everybody's talking Kyle Busch, defending champ in 2020. You know, the man could do no wrong. He's one of the greatest drivers ever. He still is, but you look now and you're just wondering, okay, he didn't fall off like a tiny hill. He fell off the Grand Canyon, and it's a little sad now to see. I don't know what the fix is. I don't know if there is a fix, but, you know, if he is there, if he does stay for 2025, if he honors his contract, it's going to be probably another similar season. Unless some more people are voluntarily told to retire in the middle of the season. You know, I think something like that's got to something like that's going to happen. Playoff cut line, let's look at that real quick before we go off the air here. So now 11 drivers have won, 11 guys locked in, 5 spots up for grabs, 7 races to go. And if you want a wild card winner that isn't Shane Van Gisbergen at Chicago next week, maybe Justin Haley, who finished, I think, runner-up in that race a year ago. Austin Dillon would have finished top 5 if he hadn't, you know, crashed into the tire barriers by himself. Michael McDowell, great on road courses. Zane Smith has 2 top 20s on road courses. Now he has momentum behind him finally. This is going to be a really weird race. It's going to be a race, you know, Chicago, where any of these guys like McDowell, Haley, that need a win, it's their chance. But let's take a look at that playoff cut line really quick. Martin Truex, he's in. He's 143 points to the good right now. Ty Gibbs is plus 70. Chastain is plus 66. Buescher plus 56. And then Alex Bowman, 16th right now, plus 51, the last man in. Bubba Wallace lost 38 points today. He's still the first man out. He's now minus 51. I think everybody below the cut line needs to win. I don't think Bubba's making up 51 points on Buescher or Bowman or anybody up there. Briscoe's now 78 out, and then Busch 104 out. Everybody has to win, basically. Do you see any of those guys? Do you see Bubba, Briscoe, Busch, Barry, Gillen, Josevar, any of those guys? Do you think they can win? Because that's what this playoff cut line is down to now. I don't think it's a points battle anymore.
I mean, somebody's got to. Right, like I don't think we're just gonna have repeat winners the rest of the season, but it's kind of like who's it gonna be? Who are? I don't know.
I mean,
so many.
I would say Kyle Busch is your best bet, but I don't know if he is. Aside from Daytona, I mean, if you look at Chicago, like McDowell, Haley, they could win that, but the rest of the schedule, Eric Jones, he's won at Darlington twice. That's the regular season finale this year.
Maybe it will just be repeat winners.
So I don't know. I think if you're looking for a new winner, you're going to have to go above the cut line. Like I think it's going to be Truex. I see he's somehow still hasn't gotten one yet. Chastain. I think Truex, Chastain, maybe Buescher can snag one. I don't know. I think if there is going to be a winner below the cut line, that's not at Daytona or Chicago, that's not on a wild card track, I think it'd be Bubba. And I think it might be like at Michigan or Pocono. But I think the playoff field stays exactly as it is right now. I don't think a new guy gets in. I really don't. If SVG was full-time and running for points and he won Chicago, I'd say, yeah, I think he'd be the guy that could vault up there, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're 16 right now. They're going to be the 16 fighting for a championship. And, you know, we'll probably get 7 new winners over the next 7 weeks and I'll look like an idiot, but, yeah, that's kind of the situation. So Joey Logano gets a season-saving win. Emily, thank you for joining me. I will be at Chicago. You'll be at the race, too. I'll be there. So hopefully we can bring you some in-person pre-race and post-race shows. I might do some post-race course out on the racetrack, out on pit road and everything. I'll have interviews with drivers and all that all weekend and articles, of course, on Yard Barker. So that'll be fun. It was fun in St. Louis. Hoping for some more great Media Center food that's free. So I think we're set up in the Art Institute for the Media Center. So that should be fun. And I'm going to introduce myself to Bob, too. So
yes, you are.
And that's the plan. All right. Thank you guys for watching. Like, subscribe, come and share. Emily's our social media manager at BTYLPod on Twitter, at Below the Line on all of the podcast platforms and YouTube. She has not looked at our Twitter at all, I'm pretty sure. Thank you for watching.
That is not true.
Yeah, I haven't posted on there in like a week. My fault. We have 7 followers. I'm sure they're very disappointed, and they're all robots. But thank you guys for watching. Like, subscribe, comment, share. I'll see you later in the week to preview the Xfinity race at Chicago, and then Emily and I will have you covered all weekend from Chicago in the Media Center at the racetrack. It'll be a fun weekend in Chi-Town. So we'll see you later. Goodbye.